Hier ist die Kompaktkurbel unter den Podcasts. David Korsten und Tim Farin reden über 101 Dinge, die ein Rennradfahrer wissen muss, und liefern dir Gesprächsstoff für deine nächste Runde.
Wer fängt jetzt an?
Ja, ich fange an, David. Hallo, schön, dass du dir die Zeit einrichten konntest, obwohl es dir eigentlich wieder mal nicht passt.
Doch,
ich finde tagsüber auch mal ganz schön, mit dir zu reden. Schön, dass es klappt. Toll. Schön,
ja,
dass auch die Technik steht.
Ja, dafür bin ich ja dann verantwortlich, wenn es nicht klappt.
Nein, wenn es nicht klappt, bin ich dafür verantwortlich. Du bist für die Vorgaben verantwortlich, die ich nicht einhalte.
Ja,
aber wir haben uns doch gebessert eigentlich, oder nicht?
Ja,
weil es zu viel ist, weil es immer wieder... Mal heißt es das Tool, mal ist es das Tool, dann ist es jenes Tool. Du verschickst jetzt Geräte an irgendjemanden, von dem ich gar nicht weiß, was der überhaupt für ein Thema hat mit mir und so. Also für mich ist das jetzt inzwischen völlig, man braucht einen Projektmanager. Wir sollten uns einen Projektmanager anheuern.
Nee, ich glaube, wir brauchen nur einen, der das Projektmanagement nicht systematisch vereitelt. Damit wir uns auch
und das nächste Thema ist, können wir jetzt mal aufhören zu streiten, bevor wir überhaupt angefangen haben?
Ja, wir sollten doch lieber abends miteinander sprechen, weil dann offensichtlich die Stimmung weniger feindselig ist.
Das ist richtig. Du weißt, da kennst du ja das Lied I'm waiting for the night to fall. Kennst du das? Waiting for the night?
Ja.
Welche Band?
Ich hab's nicht im Ohr. Ich hab's nicht im Ohr gerade.
Waiting for the night to fall.
Sing doch mal.
Nein, ich singe jetzt nicht.
Doch, bitte.
Aber soll ich jetzt singen, oder was?
Ja, bitte.
I'm waiting for the night to fall, when everything is bearable, and all that you feel, und so weiter, ne?
Nee, doesn't ring a bell.
Kennst du nicht. Depeche Mode, mein Lieber. Hättest du dir ja denken können.
Hätte ich mir denken können. Bist du ja
und
Fan.
So. Und das, jetzt haben wir schon Englisch angefangen, weil das ist ja super, das Gespräch. Wir müssen ja die Leute jetzt nochmal warnen. Es kommt ja jetzt englischer Content.
English Content.
Yes.
With whom?
Den Namen verrate ich wieder mal nicht. Das sagt er nachher selber. Es ist jedenfalls ein Gesprächspartner, der östlich von uns sitzt. Einige Landesgrenzen weiter, auf der östlichen Seite des Mittelmeers. Und jemand, den ich vor 3 Jahren kennengelernt habe, fast 4 bald, der saß im Auto hinter mir, als ich Radfahren war. Der hat eine Trainingsgruppe begleitet und wir haben im Laufe der Jahre Kontakt gehalten. Er selber ist ein sehr renommierter Coach, nicht nur bei den Leistungstrainings sozusagen, also Trainingsprogramm, sondern vor allem mit Blick auf Krafttraining und dann wiederum vor allem mit Blick auf Krafttraining für Rennradfahrer und Triathleten.
Ja.
Übrigens haben wir auch ganz speziell in unserem Gespräch sind wir auch auf die Besonderheiten der weiblichen Physiologie eingegangen.
Gut.
Gibt's ja auch.
Gibt's Besonderheiten?
Ja,
willst du schon was verraten oder
ich sag mal,
müssen wir
Zyklus,
uns das anhören?
Also das ist ja, nee, also Zyklus ist ja wichtig bei Menschen, die Sport betreiben. Die haben ja, wenn sie Männer sind, damit weniger, sagen wir mal, individuelle Unterschiede als die Frauen. Und das ist natürlich relevant, wenn es um sowas geht wie Konditionsaufbau, aber natürlich auch gerade bei Krafttraining sehr relevant. Und der Kollege, mit dem ich hier gesprochen habe, jetzt hätte ich fast seinen Namen verraten, hat das auch zum Thema gemacht, hat auch ein bisschen eine steile These dazu in den Raum geworfen. Und ich bin ganz froh. Also das ist ein Thema, was seit langer Zeit eigentlich wichtig ist. Ich habe gesagt, lass uns das machen, wenn der Winter langsam heranrollt und die Leute vielleicht ein bisschen weniger draußen unterwegs sind. Andererseits ist Krafttraining kein Thema, das nur in die dunkle Jahreszeit gehört.
Sondern auch ganzjährig?
Immer.
Immer.
Wird, ich hoffe, einige Menschen überzeugen. Auch mich hat es wieder überzeugt. Auch ich weiß jetzt wieder, was ich alles nicht tue.
Ist das nicht auch immer eine frustrierende Erkenntnis, dass man immer noch mehr machen könnte oder sogar müsste?
Naja, aber in dem Fall muss ich sagen, also du weißt ja, ich habe gerade auch eine super Serie in der Apothekenumschau geschrieben. Da geht es ja auch um Fitness und zwar um Fitness in der Lebensspanne. Und wir werden ja jetzt nicht jünger, auch wenn du noch ziemlich jung bist. Ich bin nicht jünger geworden in der letzten Zeit. Aber mir ist aufgefallen, dass also doch gewisse Zipperlein, vielleicht auch funktionale Probleme sich einfach auf leichte Weise beheben lassen. Und das ist eben zum Beispiel Krafttraining. Das mögen wir vielleicht nicht unbedingt, aber das hat unheimliche Wirkung. Es braucht auch gar nicht viel Zeit, um das zu machen. Kann man ja auch anfangen mit ganz einfachen Übungen. Ein paar Minuten am Tag geht es schon los und du merkst den Effekt ganz schnell. Also das ist mir jetzt im Zuge dieser Serie aufgefallen für die Apothekenumschau. Man kann das auch alles noch finden, überall in der Apotheke. Vielleicht liegen auch alte Hefte darum. Also sowas wie Liegestütze zum Beispiel, wie schnell man da die Fortschritte spürt. Ja, das ist eine trockene Übung, aber die ist dann schnell zu machen. Und du brauchst ja auch nur zwei Sätze alle zwei Tage oder so. Und du merkst schon, wie sich die Kraft aufbaut.
Ja.
Und das ist natürlich super.
Ich kriege dann auch immer Lob dafür. Oh, hast du irgendwie trainiert? Warst du irgendwie im Fitnessstudio oder so? Wenn ich das alle paar Monate mal
von wem?
So ein bisschen mache. Ja, von Menschen, die mir emotional nicht unbedingt per se zugetan sind. Also auch von Fremdmenschen.
Okay.
Also,
ich achte mal auf dein Body,
zum Beispiel,
wenn ich das nächste Mal
wärst ein Kandidat, da auch mal ein Lob einzustreuen.
Und es ist ja, wir wissen ja auch, Leute wie wir, die haben ja viele Leiden. Wir sind ja auch anfällig für Krankheiten und Gebrechen. Und ich glaube, dass Kraft da natürlich ganz besonders wichtig ist.
Ja, ich bin wieder so ein bisschen erkältet, weil hier die Kinder wieder verrotzt sind und so. Knasse, wir freuen uns auf den Winter, der gerade erst anfängt.
Looking forward to it.
Looking forward to the Gespräch, was du mit dem Menschen gemacht hast, auf Englisch.
Ja, ich bin ganz happy gewesen. Ich habe den richtigen Mann zum spannenden Thema gefunden. Sage ich jetzt einfach mal so.
Dann bin ich jetzt auch mal gespannt und will das mal hören. Abfahrt.
Well, it's a sunny day outside in Cologne, and I'm not sure about what the weather is like with the guests we're talking to. Usually the weather is much better where you are. Where are you at?
So I'm in Tel Aviv. It's 25 and sunny. It's perfect riding weather here.
Wow. Is it a time disconnect, something going on?
Yeah, well, it gets cold, quote unquote, at night. Well, the difference is like when we go to visit my in-laws, they live just outside of Jerusalem. It's actually winter there. You need sweatpants and gloves and, you know, everything for winter riding, because it'll be a high of 18. So there's a big difference in the different regions of Israel. So Tel Aviv is more swampy. For me, it's like Florida. And then Jerusalem is kind of like Cologne. And then you have down south where we rode up north, which will be also like Cologne. So you get a little bit of everything. And then Eilat is kind of like the desert. So it's always warm.
So you're talking about the weather, but I haven't even introduced you. Maybe you want to introduce yourself. Or I just say that you just said that we've been riding together in Israel. So that maybe for the insiders, they already know. But I doubt it. So let's introduce you. You're someone I thought would be most and highly relevant for our podcast, because you are an expert, not just for cycling training, but especially for strength training. Is that right?
Correct.
And what's your name?
Menachem. My name's Menachem Brody. we met, 2018? You came to pre-ride or see the riding scene, I should say, in Israel before the Giro d'Italia start here. And we had a great time. We took you up north. You saw the big climbs, the greenery, all the fun stuff. But my background is strength training for cycling and triathlon specific. I've been doing that for 16 and a half years now. And I've been involved in health and fitness for, 25 and a half years. So really big background in strength training and conditioning, and also a cycling coach since 2007. So that's 14 years now.
You're accredited by USA Cycling, right?
Correct. USA Cycling and the Israel Cycling Federation as well. Yeah. So I'm the national strength and conditioning coach for the national track team here in Israel as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's quite something you have, or merits that you have gathered.
You said we were on a ride together. You were coaching a team in Tel Aviv, right? Is that still going on?
Correct. Yeah, I was in the follow car.
Yeah. So you could watch it all from behind, but yeah. You saw interesting things. What's the team called?
The team was White City Racing. We're now defunct, I guess would be the word. Just people moved. The other coach moved up north for a little bit. The other individual, Alon, who your initial contact was with, he moved outside of Tel Aviv about a 40-minute drive. So just kind of, you know, life happened.
Mm-hmm. And how's the cycling scene in Israel developing?
Very nicely, actually. The track team, we actually have Rotem Tene is now doing the UCI Sprint League is new this year, which is very exciting. He finished ninth in the world here a couple weeks ago. And we're really seeing a huge push forward in large part thanks to the foundations of the Israel Cycling Federation the last 15, 20 years, running races, which is very challenging, weather, everything. But also Sylvain Adams has really come and brought new spirit and enthusiasm. And you know, hanging behind me here, you guys listening can't see it, but I have Guy Niv's jersey from the first Israeli to ride the Tour de France. And I think that's one of the things with cycling here is mountain biking is huge. Road cycling and track cycling are growing. And it's really exciting to be here. That's why I moved to Israel, was the opportunity to contribute to the cycling scene here and help it grow.
Mm-hmm. Where did you move from? You would have to share that as well.
I was born and raised in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So East Coast, not a huge cycling community, but medium-sized. But we have really beautiful roads outside. I haven't been to Cologne yet to ride with you, but based on some of the pictures you put on Facebook, not a creeper.
Sorry.
Very similar, you know, the mountain. Yeah. You get outside the city and it's rolling and very pretty.
All right. So, Menachem, I asked you if you were going to be someone I could talk to about strength training, because I think it's an underestimated subject for cyclists. And I said, we could do this because the winter really starts hitting Germany now. And you said, it's not just something to talk about in the winter, right? Would you say it's an all-year topic to talk about strength for cyclists?
Yeah, and a lot of it is meeting people where they are, right? And there's only so much we can do when the community as a whole tends to have a certain perception of things. And this goes for everything. So the brief background is, when it comes to strength training, and I'm going to use my new word I learned here in our preamble before we start recording, a lot of us think of cycling, the individual, the 72-year-old who's very strong, whom you rode with the other day and you're doing the story on here. We all think of just riding our bikes because that's what we love, whether it's outside or your newfound love of, I don't know if you could say love Zwift, but tolerance and enjoyment of Zwift.
Indoor tolerance. No, could be, yeah. Love, maybe love.
Entertainment.
Yeah. Maybe love.
Maybe love.
Let's see. who gets jealous? Let's see who gets jealous. If I say love online, it's love. It's just love. It's the love of my life. Swift. Okay.
I love bike. But really, when it comes to strength training, we tend to think of it as a base time of year endeavor. And what happens is a lot of people will put down their bike, they decrease their ride volume very, very much. So you go from during the summer, 12, 14, 18 hours a week, down to 6 or 5. And they hit the weights really hard. And the problem is two. Number one, yes, we need to ride our bikes to get better. So by decreasing your riding that much, you're now losing the skill of riding. And two is, when you take away the stimulus, just like we were to stop riding our bike in February, if you take that stimulus away for longer than 2 or 3 weeks, you lose a lot of that fitness. Now, muscular strength tends to stay a little bit longer, but the quality of the tissues will change based on what you're asking it to do more. To keep it very simple, strength training does need to be year-round, and it's not the way most people do it. So we can kind of get into it that way, if you like. There's a couple of different ways we can go in, but I don't know, you know, how do you want to go?
Yeah, how do we want to get into strength training? Let's say someone, you know, has just started cycling, maybe with Corona, which is something that we see a lot here. They have bought a bike or got the bike back from out of their basement or wherever, right? So they found it's fun to ride. They do maybe 200K per week, which I see a lot of people doing, which is a lot. So they spend maybe, I don't know, 7-8 hours per week on the bike cycling to build up their stamina, to build up their, you know, heart condition or whatever. They feel it's freedom. And they maybe don't think about a way into strength training because they don't think it's necessary, right? They're doing something for themselves. They're pedaling, their body's moving. How do they get into this topic? You tell me.
Usually it's an injury or they're being forced mm-hmm. off the bike and the physiotherapist or their forward-thinking coach will say, hey, you're doing a lot of riding, but in the riding position, you're changing how the mm-hmm. body works. We're not going through hip extension. The knee doesn't extend fully. You're rounded forward, usually from the upper back. And what happens over time is we get these accrual of time under stress. So there's two ways that an injury can happen. One is what many of us think of, like Mathieu van der Poel. We saw he fell, hurt his back with a hard injury. You know, it was a trauma. And the other way that gets hurt is over time, you just decrease the amount of mm-hmm. resilience that the tissues have. So it's kind of like over the course of time, taking a plastic and just very slowly warming it up. And you're just putting a little bit of pressure at either end. And slowly the plastic begins to just ever so slightly mm-hmm. melt. And then you take the heat away. Well, you can't put the plastic spoon mm-hmm. back together. It stays mm-hmm. that long. And then the next time you add a little bit of heat and it gets a little bit longer. The same thing happens to a lot of the tissues in the body on the backside, just to be very general about it. And then on the front side, the muscles, in an effort to try and stabilize, will shorten and tighten. And this leads to things getting out of balance. So for most of the folks that get into strength training, that's how. The other way is they read an article. There are thankfully many nowadays that say cyclists need to strength train.
Or they do listen to this podcast.
Or they read your book, 101 Things That Every Cyclist Should Know.
Thanks for the advertising. We don't have an English.
Or they get inspired, but from cape to cape. I still have that on my coffee table, and we still open it up with my son and show him the pictures.
So the forward-thinking ones would have listened to something, would have maybe read your new book, right? Which is out as well.
Yes. Speaking of books.
It's called Strength Training for Cycling Performance, right? So you can find that on Amazon, I guess. It's out in English right now.
Correct.
But
on Amazon.de.
I just checked. It's available here, Taschenbuch, for €21.35. Okay, we're forward thinking now. We don't have an injury right now. We didn't fall off the bike or whatever. So we want to advise people to care about it. How do you hit it? Do you do this by yourself at home, or do you go to a gym, or what's the best method to really be, let's say, efficient and healthy while being efficient?
So, fantastic question. I love how you separated those two parts. So the answer is really, it depends. Now, the depends is going to be, one, have you ever done strength training mm-hmm. before? Maybe in high school for a couple of years or university, you hit the weights a little bit. Maybe you weren't the strongest person, but you understand a bench press, a squat, a deadlift, and good technique and how to do it. So for you, maybe we'll start at home with a kettlebell and your mm-hmm. body weight or mm-hmm. some bands. Whereas there are some cyclists nowadays, track cyclists in particular, they hit the weights regularly. So the team here, I just got off the phone with the coach here, and we're going to do 2, maybe 3 days a week of strength training with barbells and dumbbells and weighted balls. And it really matters as to how recently you've done this. So if you're 37, 38, and you haven't done strength training with barbells since you were in university, we just want to start with body weight and maybe bands. And it doesn't have to be very complex. And the book, the hardest part of the book was putting together the strength training plans. There are 3 full-year strength training plans. So they teach you how to do a whole training year. One plan is for body weight. One plan is for, body weight and TRX. The other is kettlebells and bands. And the other one is with a barbell. So depending on where you are, any of these three. The biggest mistake that I've seen recently many cyclists making is they go and they think they have to pick things heavy things up and put them down. And there's this huge push right now of lift heavy shit. Sorry. Yeah,
we've had worse.
Yeah. Right. So, okay.
A lot worse.
I do. That is one of my German words, but we'll leave that. the problem is that when you go, what we just talked about with the spoon heating up and becoming stretched a little bit, those are the ligaments in the body. So ligaments connect bone to bone. You also have the tendons and the muscles become changed in their length, which changes their properties a little bit and how they function. But you also have the bones that need to be able to rebuild themselves. And that's one of the big things that people are saying, cyclists need to lift heavy things to strengthen their bones. And while this is technically correct and scientifically correct, you have to apply the force, we miss the fact that if the bones are very weak, we can't overload them. We haven't been doing strength training. So starting off with learning how to move well, taking your ego and leaving it outside and beginning by learning how to move well, just with your body, can see fantastic results.
I really have to have those bells? Could I just persist with body weight and consistently run a body weight program and stay full of strength and be healthy?
Great question. The first 3 to 6 months, absolutely. And there are certain approaches, calisthenics and things of that nature, where you can improve your strength. However, those types of strength training programs don't tend to carry over as well to cycling. And here's why. Cycling is not like a normal, quote unquote, sport. We're a pulsing sport, where as we go down the road, we have a of your feet hitting the ground, much like running. When you're doing body weight exercises, in order to create that pulse, it's very difficult. So you can do plyometrics, sure, but we need a little bit more overload for the system. And this is where a band or a kettlebell, and it doesn't have to be that heavy, 8 kilos or 12 kilos worth of resistance on the band and the kettlebell is more than plenty for the vast majority of masters men out there. 8 kilos and a 4 centimeter band, that's all you need. For many of us, the 4 centimeter band for many of us, for a lot of the exercises, will be too much. So we do need the overload, and that's where it's resistance training, but we need to start by learning how to move our body. And it's a very hard sell. So back when Corona hit in 2020, I actually had been preparing a bodyweight exercise to release in the fall. And so we moved it up. I put a blast out to my email and said, if anybody's interested, you're stuck at home, you don't have weights. Who would like to get really strong in the next 60 days? So 2 months, 9 weeks. And I had, I think, 14 or 15 people were really excited. And many of them saw the program and they go, well, this doesn't look that hard. And we got to week 3 and we had a monthly phone call or video call. And a lot of them said, I can't do the movement. I can't get the technique right. I fall over. My balance is bad. And a few of them said, well, I just want to lift up heavy things. I ordered some weights. Well, you just said you can't balance or perform a basic human movement. So why would you add weight to that? And this is where it depends. If you're the type that needs a little bit of resistance and you need to feel the workout, start with kettlebells and a bands, but very basic. It doesn't have to be fancy.
So I assume that some people would be, let's say, reluctant to do too much with weight or strength because they are afraid that they may gain mass, which would hinder them from being fast up the long climbs or just look differently because they like to look slim, you know, in their airtight jerseys, you know, which are fashionable right now. The Rafa or Lecol needs to be XS, right? So do you see people like being a little shy to enter the strength part because they don't want to change their overall stature?
Yeah, that is a consideration for a number of the quote-unquote faster masters riders and some of the racers. And what's interesting about this, Tim, is when you look at the programs that are out there that are cycling specific, there are two major problems with them. Number one is they're in the hypertrophy range. So people say 3 sets of 15 is cycling specific. It's endurance. Scientifically, we've had many, many years that show that depending on the person, anywhere from 8 to 15 repetitions is hypertrophy, which is important. However, the amount that these programs are doing, and I've seen a couple on YouTube where they put together scientifically backed programs that are absolutely awful because the order, and they just have so many repetitions. So that's problem number one, is that the programs that are being out there that are very popular are all geared towards hypertrophy. And we'll come back to this in a second. We do need that. But the bigger problem, number two, is that many of the cyclists are not riding enough to maintain this cycling morphotype. So their body is going to change, because we talked about they are going from riding 8 to 12 to 14 hours down to 5 or 6 so they can get into the weight room. So when you have that, the demands on the body change, so the body will respond and put on muscle mass. Now, for some areas, we need that as cyclists. The glutes, the mid-back, a little bit in through the latissimus and through the shoulders, we do need to have a little bit of mass. And if you do it with a good program that helps you balance out the body and work on the upper body connection to the lower body, you can get really fast on the climb. No longer is the bike being thrown side to side your limiter, where you have to kind of, you know, snake your way on the bike to kind of keep yourself going. And that's where we need to have, as a whole, a step back to think about how should strength training be done for cycling? Because most strength training right now is where the United States and the Western world was, excuse me, back in the 1970s. Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jane Fonda, you know, David Hasselhoff also had a program. So these are the types of programs we have now for cycling. So we're 50 years, a half a century behind what the best practices are for sports performance. I mean, can you imagine showing up to a group ride on a 1970s steel frame? Some people do. Kudos. But it's a lot harder on a six-speed steel frame with the down tube shifters.
Okay, so but that's something, if you consider this and you really want to start to take it seriously, that means you have to find someone. And if you haven't had the training before, if you don't know how to use the bells, and if you don't know which exercises to do to maybe strengthen your cycling-specific core muscles, how do you start? I mean, do you just buy your book, or how do you find someone who could tell you exactly for a cycling-specific exercise how to do it?
Well, let's define. And I love these questions, man. You can really tell that you're in the world because you're asking really great questions. When it comes to core, we have to start there. So the core, a lot of us think as being the stomach. And the core is actually all of the muscles between your neck, your elbows, and your knees. All of those muscles have to work together, because when we think about our arms, our biceps and triceps, when one is shortened, the other one is lengthened. When one is lengthening, the other one is shortening. So there's an agonist and antagonist. But when it comes to our midsection, our torso muscles, it doesn't work like that. The muscles of the torso deflect forces around the spine. So by focusing only on the core and the stomach, we're missing on a lot of the system. So once we understand that, we can now look at a number of different coaches who can help. So of course, I wrote the book, I did my YouTube channel, my podcast, for the reason that everyone else is saying, quote unquote, cycling specific. But then they're just talking about deadlifts and lunges and squats and hamstring curls, and they're only focusing on the quote-unquote cycling-specific muscles. I don't know about you, but I like to have my hands on the handlebars when I'm riding and not leaning forward unsupported, although that is a training approach. So when we do this, we want to think about what's become popular as functional training. And really what this is, the body doesn't work in individual muscle groups. When you're doing squats, the muscles of the back have to work. The muscles of the arms have to work. The question is, how much do they have to work and how? So to find cycling specific, the first thing to do is to think about, when you're riding, what muscles do you feel fatigue first? So when you're climbing, is it your arms, your shoulders, your back, your hips? Of course, the quadriceps are burning, but what do you feel is limiting you on the bike? Are you pedaling squares? And that kind of gives us an idea as to what type of work you actually need for your cycling-specific work. That being said, to start, it just begins with the basic fundamental 5+1 human movements. So pushing, pulling, squatting, hinging or deadlifting, pressing overhead, and then anti-rotation. And that's where we're connecting the upper body, lower body through the midsection. As long as you're including all 5+1 of those movements in your training program, you don't need anything cycling specific. You just need to get really good at doing those and choose one or two variations do that for 6 to 8 weeks, change up the variation, change the weights a little bit or how you're loading, and continue for another 6 to 8 weeks. It really is that simple.
6 to 8 weeks, but what about the time? How many hours or minutes or seconds per day? That's the one, you know, we ride for 10 hours, but we don't want to do that.
Exactly. Yeah, a lot of cyclists have this thing where they think they have to be in the gym for an hour at a time. You don't. You don't. If you're beginning, you've never done any type of strength training or resistance training before, we can get you a great workout in 35 to 40 minutes twice a week. And that's all you need. For some folks who have, you know, more issues, so I have two riders who are just out of Bogota, and then they went to Guatemala, I think, I can't remember, but they're moving around, and they both have some different issues. So their strength training sessions take closer to an hour because they're getting to the point, you know, they're in their mid to late 50s, and they're thinking, I want to ride like the gentleman you're talking about. I want to ride until I'm 75, 80 with good posture. So theirs takes a little bit longer. But 30 to 35 minutes twice a week, and that starts off with 5 to 8 minutes of foam rolling, soft tissue work, lacrosse ball. Then you have 8 to 10 minutes of a dynamic warm-up. These are exercises which are going to help build your core. Again, core is everything between the neck, the elbows, and knees. And then you have between 4 and 6 strength exercises paired together, and that's it. So you do exercise 1, let's say front squats. Exercise 2 would be maybe a stretch for the hip flexors. Rest for a minute and a half when you're done with the second exercise and repeat again and then go through that way. So you finish 3 sets of squats and hip flexor stretch. And then you move into your next exercise. So we've had 15 minutes, 12 minutes of warm-up, and we have about 20 minutes with that rest period built in to get the other 6 exercises done. You leave the gym. You're not crawling, you're not tired. You say, huh, I could probably do more weight or another round of each of those.
Okay.
Perfect.
That's important all you need to know, right? So, because if you don't feel the fatigue, you're still doing okay or you're doing okay.
Yeah. And that's where, you know, where, but on the bike, if I want to get stronger, I have to push harder. Well, technically, yes, but you need to push at the right time. Yeah. You know, riding with pros, you'll hear oftentimes, I don't want to go that fast, or don't ride that fast, or we're not going to ride together. Because the professionals understand that there's only so much energy. You want to be the least amount of time to get just enough of the training stimulus that you need, and not a second or not an ounce more.
So if someone's listening, they have a, you know, they have bad conscience because they've not been caring too much about this part of the workout. It's don't make up with extra training. Right? That's no.
Yes, no. Right. No. The strength training is creating, let's see if I can pronounce this right, is creating a Burggraben
for the moat. Yes. You know, I learned that from Warren Buffett. I read something and I thought, that's one English word I haven't read before. And I Googled it up and then I found a moat is a Burggraben. Yes. Yeah, it's important for investments to have a Burggraben, and it's important for strength training as well, right?
Well, the strength training is there to help us with not just our cycling, everything else. And that's where so many cyclists and triathletes go 110% of the gym. It's not a good workout unless I can't walk downstairs the next day. And that's why they're putting the bike down, is because they're putting all the intensity and effort into these sessions. If you come into the gym, or any of the listeners come and watch me work with the top guys I'm working with, the weights aren't that impressive, quote unquote. The sessions, you ask how they feel at the end, they're like, yeah, I feel fine. I could go ride, you know, 60K, no problem. And you're thinking, that's it? But you do that twice a week, 3 days a week for a year. Every single week, we take 3 weeks off, 4 weeks off for a peak. You get really strong and you start to be able to convert that to the skill on the bike. And that's where it really matters. And that's where, you know, if we think about the Burggraben of strength training, creating that now you have the right mentality. I don't want to leave the gym totally sore, tired the next day. I want to be able to wake up and say, oh, it's sunny today. I want to go for I'm off in the morning. The kids are actually in school. We don't have a teacher strike or anything. So then you go and you can ride 100K and say, wow, I feel amazing. That's exactly what we want.
Speaking of one thing important, can you actually combine the strength training part and the ride on the same day? Is it physiologically advisable, and in which order would you do it?
Excellent question. So this is actually advantageous for once a week. If you're only lifting twice a week in the gym or with resistance, the first one, and there was a research article which is now making its way through the media, which is catching up. So I've known this for about 12 years. I learned it from one of my mentors who knew it for probably 6 or 7 years. So now we'll say the research is about 20 years behind. I've been saying 12, but now that we're talking, it's a bit more. You want to do the main thing first. So for us, that's cycling. So cycling should be first. And then afterward, you would go to strength training. Now, there's two reasons for this. Number one is what this research article is talking about now, and that is the cell signaling of the body for the non-working muscles is going to be more receptive to strengthening. So the articles in the US are written that if you do a cycling workout, you should do upper body. You should do chest and shoulders and back. Yes, but it also helps the lower body in that we're now training these tissues under fatigue, which allows the brain to connect to more of the motor units. And if you're doing it like we just talked about, where you're thinking about quality and having a high quality movement session, you load just enough under fatigue that you're improving how the body functions, but it needs to be done after riding. Now, two important notes here. Number one is that if you're a female in the second half of your menstrual cycle in the luteal phase, you're going to want to have around 15 to 25 grams of protein before your ride, and you want to have another small dose after your ride before your strength training. And then immediately after your strength training, within 15 minutes, you want to have a mixed protein meal as well. For masters athletes, I like to say the same thing, where you have a little bit of protein before your ride and then after. So you don't have to have in between, but after. If you're going to do these two together, what would we consider together? And a great book for the listeners, I know there are more academics here. Thomas Kurz has a great book called Science in Sport, I believe. I have to look, but Thomas Kurz, it was translated from Russian, and he talks about how a single training session is any session that's within 2 hours. So if you go for a ride in the morning, you come home, shower, go to work, and then your mid-morning break, you get into the gym, that's one training session for the body. There hasn't been enough time for the hormones to kind of peak and trough and then and then come back up. So let's make it more for the listeners who were the we're working, we have kids, we have to pick up from school, we get a bike in the morning and hopefully something in the evening after the kids go to sleep. So those would be two totally separate sessions. And in that case, the order doesn't matter. We would just go with what feels best to you. So I have two or three guys right now and a female, they love strength training first thing in the morning. You know, they're kind of into Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, and, you know, clang and bang, 5 a.m. And they have become evening riders where they enjoy riding at sunset. So whatever works for you. However, if you do strength training in the morning first thing, we want to make sure that warm-up is enough to protect the spine. So we're working on a couple of things. But the order does matter. Cycling first and then strength training, not the other way around.
So warm-up important as well. We learned that. Okay, and protein, does it have to be the functional food or could it also be the salmon?
Well, that's the thing is sports supplements is a multi-billion dollar, you know, you mentioned Warren Buffett, you know, it's a multi-million dollar industry. We want to try and have real food, but let's be honest. For me, would I want to have tuna or an egg after getting off the bike before a training session?
Not all the time.
You do? Really? Oh, man. I don't think I would probably.
Anything I could grab, it's just good enough for me, you know?
Wow. You have a stomach of iron.
True.
So for me, I couldn't do that. So for me, it would be we have these protein yogurts here, the Greek yogurts. So I would have probably half of one of those. And the one thing that I try and avoid is any type of sugar between those two. And that is training. You're training the body to base off of proteins. But it depends on the listener. So you say an egg is great for you. I will most likely throw it up if I start strength training with it. So find what works for you.
Well, I think we're getting kind of long now, but it's been not too long in terms of the content, but just for the format, I think we're going to have to stop soon. But One thing that you just pointed to is something that's been, that I've been confronted with in a lot of stories recently, is that female athletes, or even just not athletes, but people that want to work out, they have different functions in their body, hormones and all, which must have, or which wasn't really considered relevant for a long time, or people in, when they got advice, didn't get their specific advice for their, well, their current state. So when it comes to strength training, can you actually have similar programs for female and male athletes, just considering those cyclical developments in your body? Or do you really have to have a very different training program?
Great question. And I'm going to put myself out there and be a little bit of a contrarian or iconoclast, mm-hmm. from the standpoint that about 8 years ago, I started following Dr. Stacy Sims, because I had my first three female athletes I failed. The on-bike program was too linear for them. They were very sensitive when they had their cycles. So I started following Dr. Sims, and she's kind of the name right now in female physiology. There's a number of other researchers that have done contributed a significant amount as well. And I'm going to go against the grain here, because I think we've gone way too far down that, where women everywhere are saying, I need a completely different program. We don't know that yet. We know that some women are very sensitive. My first three cycling clients that I had that were female, again, I completely failed them because I didn't recognize it. Instead of saying, wow, you're female, maybe something else is going on, because clearly you're tired, you're bloated, other things are happening. Maybe we should look at something else. I just said, no, you have to fit in this program. So we've broken that open and recognized, or are more willing to recognize, their differences. For some women, they absolutely need a different program. I've worked in CrossFit. I've coached the number two female in Israel. I've worked with a number of top five, top 10 male. And I can tell you that some female athletes are very sensitive to that. And they usually know, but they're new to it, right? So they're thinking, wow, you know, this is new. And they're reading, you know, Dr. Sims, or they're seeing the common media that are saying women are not small men, which technically is correct. But it depends on how they respond. So I have two. It was three, but I'm no longer coaching her on that side of things. I had three females. We kept roughly the same program, and they saw much better results going through that than they did going through and following what the research was showing, which was, you know, need to go light weights, high repetitions, don't push as heavy, more coordination, more balance. When we did that, the results went backwards. Okay. And we all went, you know, what the heck is going on here? We're following the science. And then it was, right, it depends. Each person is different. So for some females, if you are sensitive, the answer is, yeah, you can go through with a little bit of balance training. So just bouncing a tennis ball on one foot, coordination. So you have to catch the ball and balance would be a sample exercise. Decrease the weights. So if you go into the gym and you're doing your warm-up set and you know it's that time of the month, the second half of your cycle, so quote unquote days 14 to 28, which also is already a misnomer because it varies. It can be 21 days for a cycle or 49 days for a cycle, even 62. Then listen to your body. If you go, wow, I just feel so weak today. The CrossFit athlete I worked with, there were a couple times and I was there with her. So without knowing, I just said, oh, well, let's go to an RPE of 7. And we decreased the weight, still too heavy, decreased the weight, still too heavy. 3 days later, she was fine. So you can follow your body and go through. So yes, it depends. And to be a little bit more succinct, read what's out there. Try it. Try it for two cycles. If you find that it works for you, fantastic. Follow the advice. If you find after two cycles it's not working for you, let's try something else.
But this needs to be taken into consideration with your individual response. Yeah, right.
Yes. So,
okay. Well, we have female listeners, and it's getting more, I can tell you that. It's not the majority yet, but I think that reflects the overall population of cyclists, I would say. But we see a strong uptake here in Germany as well, and that's good to see. So we always make sure, David and I, that we address both female and male riders. So Yes. Well, Menachem, yes. This was fantastic. And I think you would like to share much more, but we call it the compact Kurbel. Okay. So we have only limited, time and limited gear set here. We need to halt now. We'll put the link in the show notes, to your new book. And if anyone wants to get in touch, I guess I can arrange person. People know my mobile phone. It's all online. You know, it's a mobile phone number and email. Just get in touch with Menachem directly or myself if you have any trouble finding Menachem Brody Human Vortex Training. Right? What is a vortex? Actually, you need to explain it to me. What, I mean, it means different things, but why is it a term used for training?
Not necessarily for training. As you know, when we met, I'm a bigger guy. So I'm about 187 meter, and right now a little bit heavier. I was up to 107 kilos. I'm down to 93, 94. But when I go to the front of a pace line, nobody else has to pedal. So one of my friends, when I was on the racing team in university, just one ride, I went to the front to pull, and it was a stretch that I felt always really strong. So for about 7 or 8 miles, I just pulled everybody. And he goes, come on, everybody, get on the vortex. And, you know, I look over my shoulder and they're all sitting up and like eating and I'm snot coming down. So that kind of wow. just stuck. Yeah. And that's, I needed help naming my company. And he said, just call it Human Vortex.
So you want to be behind, right? So the vortex, I find this a very hard to translate English word into German. It exists, but I think it's like a passive, right? You're being pulled in this vortex, right?
So, yeah.
But it's very powerful, and it's good to understand where it comes from. So you're the one causing the vortex. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So good to know and good to see that this also applies to strength training. And I hope all the listeners obviously will take it more seriously now, the ones that haven't.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for your time. It's been great. I really appreciate it. And I hope to see you in Cologne.
Yes, very soon. Thank you, Tim. Really appreciate
bye-bye.
It.
Bye-bye.
Tim, ich finde ja, dass hier diese Musik auch schon wahnsinnig viel Power hat.
Ja, das ist so, das ist so. Und das sollte ja auch die Leute mitreißen, weißt du? Wir wollten ja auch sagen, quäl dich, du Sau. Und damit sind auch Männer gemeint.
Mhm. Ja.
So, und jetzt, aber du, hör mal, jetzt eine kurze Frage. Ich schreie hier jetzt ins Mikro, weil ich bin so voll mit Power. Wollte ich dich mal fragen, oder Strength. Ich wollte dich mal fragen, sag mal, jetzt ist doch eigentlich leicht, du kannst doch mit dem Rennradtraining einfach anfangen, du brauchst gar kein Rennrad fahren, du fängst einfach erstmal mit dem Strength Training an.
Mhm. Aber zweimal eine halbe Stunde pro Woche, das finde ich irgendwie lang.
Echt? Mhm. Ich fand das überraschend wenig. So. Und das ist ja auch inklusive Warm-up und allem drum und dran. Also die Botschaft, dass du gar nicht fertig sein musst, wenn du trainiert hast, finde ich auch ganz cool. Also das,
ja, das kommt mir dann wiederum entgegen.
Ja, das ist, also das habe ich jetzt auch nochmal bei dieser Serie, Apothekenumschau-Serie, habe ich das auch gelernt. Eigentlich, geht ja nicht darum, sich auszupowern beim Muskeltraining, ne? Also gar nicht.
Das ich habe immer gehört, der Bizeps muss brennen.
Ja, das ist die alte Schule bei dir. Apropos, wie fandst du, wie der ganze subtile Werbung gemacht hat für mein Buch? Auf Englisch. Und ich finde das bemerkenswert, weil wir haben uns vorher nicht abgesprochen.
Ja.
Ich habe im Gegenzug ja dann auch Werbung für sein neues Buch gemacht, für Menachems neues Buch. Und in den Shownotes möchte ich nochmal darauf hinweisen, werden wir das auch verlinken. Und wer Kontakt zu Menachem Brody sucht, kann sich gerne an mich wenden.
E-Mail oder timfarin.de.
Ja, genau. Gerne. Also das ist echt ein richtig guter Gesprächspartner.
Ja, ich habe auch gern zugehört. Mal sehen, vielleicht bringe ich mich jetzt über den Winter mal in die Frühjahrsform. Beachbody wäre vielleicht nächstes Jahr dann 2022 noch erreichbar.
Ich möchte den 50. Geburtstag mit dir beim Ironman in Hawaii verbringen.
Boah, Deinen oder meinen?
Deinen.
Ja, das sind ja noch gute 10 Jahre bis dahin. Da kann ja noch ein bisschen was passieren.
Ja, es ist auch weit genug weg, um hier nicht überhaupt noch in Gefahr zu geraten, dass man sich jemals daran erinnert werden wird.
Also Iron Man sehe ich dann eher immer bei Netflix oder so.
Ja, was ist sonst noch so passiert?
Sonst ist nichts passiert, aber also die letzte Sendung war ja wahnsinnig erfolgreich. Jetzt schon.
Ja, gut, ne? Überraschend.
Überraschungserfolg, mal wie das ganze Projekt hier. Und ich freue mich auf nächste Woche. Wie ist denn eigentlich die Corona-Situation in da, wo wir hinfahren?
Das ist ja interessant. Corona ist ja in anderen Ländern weniger gefährlich als in Deutschland.
Ist das so?
Ich möchte jetzt aber hier politisch nicht einordnen. Der ganze Corona-Zirkus, ich möchte den hier nicht kommentieren. Und das ist ja, du weißt ja, es geht ja in die eine wie in die andere Richtung. Die Situation ist, wie sie ist und wird anders sein, als sie heute ist. Das steht fest. Fakt ist, wir werden dorthin fahren. Wir sind ja auch, wir erfüllen ja alle Kriterien, das muss man ja mal sagen. Damit haben wir uns vielleicht noch oder in manchen Zielgruppen unseres Podcasts bereits angreifbar gemacht. Auch das ist ja schon eine schwierige Aussage. Wir erfüllen alle Kriterien. Das führt dann wieder zu Hate-Mails. Aber auch schon. Wir sind aber beruflich unterwegs. Und du willst ja was live auch da bringen.
Das wäre mal ein Experiment. Ich habe hier diese App.
Haben wir eben mit rumprobiert.
Und nicht entdeckt, aber mal ausprobiert. Qualität finde ich jetzt so mäßig, aber es ist auf jeden Fall ein einfaches Tool, um hier mal live auf Sendung zu gehen und von da, wo wir dann sein werden, einen Livestream anzubieten. Das geht einfach, wenn man sich die App Mixler runterlädt, geschrieben M-I-X und dann L-R. Kostet nichts, gibt es für iPhone und Android-Geräte gleichermaßen. Und da gibt man dann einfach in die Suche ein Rennradfahren 101. Jetzt müssen wir mal gucken, ob wir schon eine Uhrzeit ansagen können. Das,
ja, ich würde sagen, wir machen.
Schwierig, oder?
Ich würde sagen, wir machen das um 22.30 Uhr am Donnerstag, das ist der 18. November, 22.30 Uhr. Könnte eine gute Zeit sein. Vielleicht zu spät für die eine oder den anderen, aber es lohnt sich ja, reinzuhorchen. Ja. Übrigens, ich habe es ja eben auch mal ausprobiert. Vielleicht können wir kurz einen O-Ton abspielen, wie das eben mit unserer Generalprobe gelaufen ist.
Können wir machen.
Mixler.
Mixler. Einfach runterladen. 18.11. 22.30 Uhr. Aber keine Sorge, wir werden das dann natürlich auch hier, diese Live-Berichterstattung, wenn das alles so klappt, dann auch hier in den üblichen Formaten auch noch online stellen. Ich spiele mal gerade diese Nachricht ab. Unseren Test.
Issue.
Hallo, nix meiner. Hier ist okay, gar nichts meiner. Hallo.
Fast 5 Minuten andauernde Aufnahme und
hier ist gar nichts meiner. Hör mal.
Mit aufzeichnen. Dann können wir
wenn du mich jetzt hören könntest, ich bin doch hier nicht einfach nur Manövriermasse
so, jetzt
für technische Experimente. Ist er noch drin? Mann da. Ist er wieder raus? Mixler, das neue Tool. Ist er noch drin? Er ist wieder raus. Tschüss.
Ja, also gibt da auch eine Chat-Funktion, wenn sie denn funktioniert. Ich werde da also alle technischen Möglichkeiten ausreizen.
Du hast gemerkt, ich war leicht irritiert, weil einiges nicht funktioniert hatte, aber bestimmt funktioniert es bei allen UserInnen, weil man muss ja das nicht gendern. Das ist dann ohnehin ein Wort im Nordrum.
Ja, was hat denn nicht geklappt?
Ich habe mich registriert und Bestätigung. Und dann sagt er mir die ganze Zeit, irgendwas mit meiner Registrierung habe nicht geklappt. Aber mein Profil ist vorhanden und es stimmt alles. Also das ist aber jetzt Troubleshooting für Mixler und nicht für uns beide. Ich werde mich gelegentlich drum kümmern.
Ja,
also. Aber lohnt sich reinzuhören. Ich finde es cool, dass du diese Initiative, auf das sei mal gesagt, diese Initiative hier in die Hand genommen hast.
Naja, wir können ja nicht die erste Podcast-Reise machen und dann hier unsere HörerInnen nicht dran teilhaben lassen. Und warum nicht mal hier versuchen, live was zu machen? Ne? Nicht, nicht immer hier wie jede Folge sonst in zehnfacher, zehnte Version, zehnten Take erst dann ausstrahlen, weil wir nicht zufrieden sind. Einfach den Druck auch mal erhöhen. Power sammeln, Kraft sammeln. Man braucht Strengths.
Ja.
Strengths.
Ja.
Auch zum Podcasten.
Absolut.
Da braucht man vor allem Sitzfleisch.
Und man muss auch dranbleiben. Am Hinterrad des Contents muss man dranbleiben. Es folgen jetzt wirklich die nächsten Highlights, die folgen jetzt, die fallen um wie die Dominosteine im Adventskalender. Tolle Sprachbilder, schöner Content, gute Gesprächspartner, eine sehr schöne Mischung ist in den nächsten Wochen zu erwarten. Nach einem vielleicht etwas lauen, muss man auch mal sich selbstkritisch in den Spiegel gucken und sagen, wir haben das Niveau nur noch versucht zu halten und jetzt drehen wir nochmal richtig am Gashebel und fahren den Content in den letzten Monaten dieses Jahres nochmal richtig hoch.
Ja, also wird nochmal attackiert.
Und wer das nicht glaubt, der soll einfach reinhorchen oder woanders hingehen. Es gibt ja genug andere Rennrad-Podcasts, aber keiner bringt die Mischung so rüber wie wir.
Also, ich bin jetzt mal gespannt, wo ich hier gerade sehe, Episode 41, vielleicht schaffen wir die 50. Folge ja doch noch dieses Jahr.
Sicher.
Müssen wir mal gucken. 9 Folgen noch dieses Jahr, das wäre ambitioniert in 6 Wochen.
Ich habe so viel Content.
Aber warum nicht? Warum nicht? Ne? Es scheitert im Zweifel ja sowieso nur an dir.
Nee.
Gut, Tim. Lass mal weitermachen.
Mal weiter jetzt, ne?
Ich habe noch nichts gegessen zum Mittag. So wird das mit der Power nix.
Ich hatte eine Rosinenschnecke.
Ja, Neid.
Alles klar, David, ich find's toll.
Mein Lieber, wir treffen uns am Bahnhof. Ne?
Ja, da hat man mich jetzt so geschickt. Ne? Mhm. Alles klar.
Mhm. Ja, na, mach's gut, ne? Bleib gesund, ne?
Mhm. Dito.
Ja, tschüss. Tschüss.
Und da sind wir schon im Ziel dieser Episode von 101 Dinge, die ein Rennradfahrer wissen muss. Die Kompaktkurbel unter den Podcasts. Hast du Lust auf mehr Wissen, mehr Anekdoten, mehr Spaß und Inspiration für deine nächste Radtour? Dann kannst du ja mal nach dem Buch schauen. Das gibt es natürlich in gedruckter Form und als E-Book vom Verlag Bruckmann. 101 Dinge, die ein Rennradfahrer wissen muss. Überall, wo es Bücher gibt. Also im Handel und im Internet. Finisher, bravo! Wir sagen Kette rechts und bis zur nächsten Ausgabe.